special schus, and particularly in light of the title, that I can welcome my father here for Shabbos, and who's here for the shir. The topic, however, I'm not sure if he got brought to the shir under false pretenses. The shir is not about Kibbut Avayim, but it is about the mitzvah of honoring grandparents. And the basic question is whether the mitzvah of Kibbut Avayim extends to, in Israel, to grandparents or not. Coming right on the heels of Hanukkah, on a very personal level and experiential level, of course, my instinctive thought is that it really would depend on how good the presents are from the grandparents, and very often they are better than the parents. Certainly with my kids, they get better presents from their grandparents. So if that'll be a riot, then that's an important marker to keep in mind, even though it didn't make it on the sheet. The relevance, really, to this parsha, again, some of the topics that we've seen the last 2 months that we've been learning together, especially in Sefer Bereishis, so sometimes it was a bit of creativity on my part to find from what is obviously otherwise stories in Sefer Bereishis the relevance to a mitzvah. So, for example, in Lech Lecha, so Avram is told to move to Eretz Yisrael, so we spoke about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. You know, halachically, the sugya, which is a real sugya we spoke about, is not grounded in that pasuk or that parsha, but we need to be a little creative as we get into some of the more halachic and less story-oriented parshas. The mitzvahs will be there. The truth is that there's no mitzvah, quote-unquote, coming out of this week's parsha, but the truth is that the entire sugya, if you look at all of the literature, primary and secondary literature, on the topic of the mitzvah of honoring grandparents, it all starts with our parsha, and it all starts with the Rashi in our parsha. So this is the primary source, to the extent that one can say there is one, in parsha Vayigash, for the question of whether there is a mitzvah to honor grandparents or not. And it all comes from Parak Mem Vav. This is right in the beginning of Chamishi, and Yaakov has now heard the good news that Yosef is still alive, and Yaakov undertakes the journey to go down from Eretz Canaan to Mitzrayim. And there, the Torah tells us, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo, v'yovo v'eira, shava, v'yizbach v'vokim. He then, right, he comes to Beersheba, and then he brings karbonos. Who does he bring the karbonos to? V'elokei aviv Yitzchak. Goes out of his way to describe God as the father, the God of his father Yitzchak. That's a relatively innocuous pasuk, but Rashi here in a very significant comment, quoting from the Medrash Rabbah, okay, Aviv Yitzchak, comes to teach us Chayev Adam Bechod Aviv, Yoser Aviv Bechod Zikman. That in fact, the obligation for Kibbut Av, for your father, is greater than towards your grandfather. After all, some of us have kashuva fathers, and some of us even have kashuva grandfathers. So if you're thinking about who am I going to refer to, you know, my father's Rosh Hashiva, and my grandfather was the real super-duper Rosh Hashiva. So you would imagine that you might say, you know, Hashem, the father of Abraham. Why did he, you know, skip Abraham? Abraham was, you know, the grandfather and the father with the capital S for the whole people, the whole general family. So Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says, no, the Gavka, to refer to Hashem as Elokei Aviv, so that's a kavod to the father, and there was more of an obligation to show kavod to the father than the grandfather, and that's why he dafka chose this. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Yerdei and Siman Reish Mem, this again for those who are familiar, in the end of towards the middle-ish, if you will, of Yerdei, there are two simanim that discuss all the halachos of what we colloquially refer to as Kibbut Avayim. The truth is that you know that there are two mitzvot. Maybe in some future date we'll have shiurim on this. But there's Kibbut Avayim and there's also Mora of Avayim. Two different mitzvot. Simon Reish Mem is a relatively lengthy simon. That is all of Hilchos Kibbut Avayim. And then the next simon, which is a relatively shorter simon, is on the halachos of Mora. The whole parsha, again, there are books written about this. I have 3 or 4 books just like Kibbut Avayim. One of them is like 400 pages. It's all on basically one and a plus, or if you will, two simanim and Shulchan Aruch. So at the end of Reish Mem, which is, I say, Z Simon, chapter 240, in the Sif Chav Dalid, so the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch actually never addresses this question explicitly, but the Ramah quotes two opinions. The first opinion that the Ramah quotes is from the Tshuvos Maharik, and the Maharik says that, in fact, there is no mitzvah of kavod for grandparents. No such thing. Ah, you'll tell me, and this is something that will resurface in this year as we go on. But I'll tell me, there's a famous Gemara phrase from the Sefer Yevamos, and that's Samach Feiz that says, "Bnei banim, hare hein kebanim." Grandchildren are like children, and of course the modern variation is that grandchildren are much better grandchildren. Nevadim kibanim. So that sounds like, if that's true top down, then lechora the reverse should be true from bottom up. That means that grandparents are like parents. You have to have covered for them. So, and as we'll see, there are some people who have to say that. The Marig says no, because the context of that Gemara there has to do with Pru Uruhu. After Shalom, somebody loses a child, so they only had a boy and a girl. The minimum requirement to give it Aveim. And they lose a child, but that child already had a child of that, whatever sex they needed to fulfill the mitzvah. So, B'nai Barim Harim Kabanim, you still fulfill the mitzvah. Again, this is, again, certainly not for now, but it's a very fascinating, and on an emotional level, one could imagine adding insult to injury, if you will, or heartbreaking halacha, that in theory, if you just had that minimum boy and girl, and then one of those children died in your lifetime, again, so to speak, adding insult to injury, but retroactively, you thought you fulfilled the mitzvah, you lose the mitzvah. It has to survive you, or it can at least have their own children, your grandchildren, that survive you. So in that very powerful halakhic context, where this phrase comes in, but says the Marik, it's powerful, but it's limited to that context. It's not any broader thing, and therefore it does not obligate grandchildren formally in any mitzvah of kibud of grandparents. The Me'iri, again, it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Me'iri, you should just know, the Me'iri in Sanhedrin does say in passing that it's ro'oi, it's appropriate for grandchildren to show honor to their grandparents. So the inference is that it's appropriate, but not necessarily obligatory. All of this is the first opinion quoted in the Ramah. But then comes along the Ramah and quotes a second opinion, which the Ramah himself says is the main Iker opinion, that in fact there is an obligation to have kibud for grandparents. And what does the Ramah cite as his proof? Our Medrash. You see from the Medrash that it's true that there's more covered, and if we have time at the end of this year, we'll discuss this, when there's conflict, perhaps, between parents and grandparents. Issues of kibud av versus kibud ziknas, grandfather versus father. But basically, what you see from the Medrash is that, relatively, there are more kibud that you have to have for your father than for your grandfather, but the inference of that is clearly that there is a basic obligation to have kibud, to have honor for your grandparents, and in fact, that is the Ramah's proof, and many poskim quote this Ramah and poskim like this, halacha against that Maharik. Now, there is also a tshuva. The Ramah, again, is most well known for his comments on Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah does have a sefer of tshuvos. And in fact, there's a very famous tshuva, which some of you may remember if you were here, the Shabbos of June 12th, which June 13th, that weekend, which was the installation week, when Rabbi Rosenzweig was here, and I introduced him before his drasha. I mentioned a very personal autobiographical story when I was first in the shir, my grandfather got very sick, and there was a shayla about saying Kaddish. I just got into the shir. I went to him to speak to him, and he told me right off the top of his head about this tshuva of the Ramah, which at the time I researched in Xerox, and until that very day, and I held it up in the pulpit, I had carried that tshuva in my wallet. Again, because of all that, on a personal level, that it symbolized. So that tshuva, without all the fanfare, reemerges. This is the context. This is the context of that tshuva. And the Ramah there is, again, going against this Maharik. In the tshuva, he also, again, quotes the Medrash and Rashi against it. Furthermore, the Bach says, listen, there's a number of examples, I'll give you one, where we see in the Torah itself that a grandfather is referred to as an av, or aviz. So for example, in Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, get embraces and punches. He says, Chaf Ches Yud Gimel, Yine Hashem Nitzav Allah V'yamar Ani, Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha. Now Avraham was his grandfather. Yet Hashem refers to Avraham as the father of Yaakov. It says the Bach, you see that the Torah itself interchanges father and grandfather, again implying that the basic relationship and mitzvot are also interchangeable. Furthermore, the Bach says a second reason to paskin like the Ramah is that one of the famous examples that's discussed, the reason for why we have the whole mitzvah is kibud av v'aim. The Gemara in Kedusha, the Chlamet Aleph, very famously says, Shlosh Hashutzim v'Adam, the three partners in every child, father, mother, and Hashem. And, you know, everyone who you owe your life to, including obviously Hashem, you have to be thankful for. So says the Bach, you wouldn't be here without your father. You wouldn't be here without your mother or the Baruch Shalom, Shlosh Hashutzim. But guess what? You wouldn't be here without your grandfather either. So, Shlosh Hashutzim v'Adam, that logically, he says, extends even further than three, back even to the generation of grandparents. And finally, an idea which we will also come back to perhaps a little bit later, just to mention it now, if you will, in the sense it could be called a proof. So the Bach says that also there in that Gemara introduction, the Gemara darshins that if a father has a primary obligation to teach his son Torah, if for whatever reason the father doesn't or can't fulfill that mitzvah, so that mitzvah actually, at least before the child is an adult, actually backs up and it becomes obligatory on the grandparent to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the grandchild. So if the grandfather has those kind of parental obligations, says the Bach, again, it should be reciprocal, even if it doesn't actually play out in most normal cases, but in theory, if there's that kind of responsibility that a grandfather has to his grandchild, so certainly the reverse should be true. There should be a mitzvah of kavod. All of these are basically the reasons by the Bach and others. Again, there are more Hoskins, there is a mitzvah, it all is grounded in the Rashi, according to Medrash and our Parsha, that there is a mitzvah of kavod for grandparents. All of this stands in contrast to the position that the Rambam first quotes, which is the Maharik. So now, if there was all this evidence that there should be a mitzvah for kavod for grandparents, Maharik knew about this kind of stuff. What about the Maharik? What were his proofs? What were his arguments? The truth is that some of the Nosei Kalim, particularly the Vilna Gaon and others, quote some very serious and strong proofs for the Maharik that imply from various Gemaras that really there is no mitzvah of kibud for grandparents. For example, one of the most often cited and significant ones is the Gemara in Makos, which discusses an incredibly tragic family situation. There, the context is the mitzvah of Golol Hadam, right? If somebody accidentally kills your father, so you are allowed, until that guy escapes from the Aron Miklat, to avenge his death. That's the Golol Hadam, again, an intriguing halacha in its own right, but we won't be analyzing that halacha per se now. So now comes along the Gemara and quotes two conflicting brisos, both of which seem to be referring to the same case. Namely, what if your father kills your brother? That's out of Jerry Springer. What if your father kills your brother? Are you allowed, the father, say your brother has no children, are you allowed to be the Gemara? Can you kill your father to avenge your brother's death? So the Gemara has one brisa which sounds like not, another verse, so it sounds like it is. And how do you resolve the contradiction, says the Gemara? Well, it depends. If the case is your father killed your brother, you have a mitzvah of kavod of your father, which obviously precludes, minimally, that you can't kill him. And therefore, you're not going to be able to be the Golol Hadam in this case. However, what if you have a different case? What if your grandfather killed your father? The Gemara says that was the brisa that says you can be a Golol Hadam, you can then go and kill your grandfather to avenge your father's death. You forgot how exciting Makos could be. Stop your base. Okay? So there, says the Gra, says other posts, can you see from that a fundamental distinction? Obviously you have this obligation of kavod to your father, which you apparently don't have to your grandfather, because the halacha even allows you, in these very unique circumstances, to kill your grandfather. So that sounds like, says the Bir HaGra and others, as a very serious mucker in support of Maharik, that there is in fact no mitzvah of kibud for a grandparent.
If you're killing your father, would that be a kind of kibud of aim, or is that more of a kind of method being
Okay, so in Echanavis says perhaps that's the answer. Perhaps that's the answer. And perhaps the whole idea of being a Golol Hadam, the assumption of that question, again, this is Makas Lomdus, the assumption is that being a Golol Hadam is an expression of the kavod that you're supposed to have for the father, or whatever the relative, in this case it would have been a brother, let's say. But, if you see Golol Hadam as being completely disconnected from the whole kibud discussion, so then, even on that angle, perhaps it wouldn't be relevant. But the Gra is assuming that you're supposed to do the avenge the death of the father as a mitzvah of kibud, and then he assumes that if you're not allowed to do it to the grandfather, that's because you would have kibud. In fact, the Gemara, and it's really a Rashi there, the Rashi there is said because there's no kavod here. Sounds like there's no kavod for grandparents. Again, there are answers for this perhaps, just like when I quoted the proofs against the Maharik, there are probably answers. I just want to give you a full picture of the proofs that are brought from one side to another. Another classical proof, which is often cited as an argument just for the Maharik that there's no mitzvah of kavod for grandparents, comes from also a somewhat well-known story. It's actually in Agadata, a story in Masechet Sota, Dachman Tasakur of Acha Bar Yaakov, who raised, I think his daughter died, and his daughter had a son. So he raised his grandson named Yaakov, who I assume was named after his father. Acha Bar Yaakov raised this little grandson named Yaakov, and as the kid got older, at one point the Gemara says that he asked him for a cup of water, and the response, which is clearly negative, but it's somewhat enigmatic in the Lashon of the Gemara, But as Rashi and others then explain what the Gemara was, basically he was refusing to get his grandfather. Again, this is not some grandfather who comes twice a year from Florida and gives you presents. Or from Ohio. Or from wherever else grandparents come from. This is the grandfather that raised him. The guy has a chutzpah and he says, no, I'm not giving you. And again, there's an enigmatic lesson of the Gemara, but Rashi teaches, what was he saying? Because I'm not chayav in kavod for you. And again, a classic example of kavod, Gemara Shulchan Aruch Paskins is, if the father asks you to get him a drink, to get him a drink. So there also, again, there, that perhaps seems to be the strongest argument, that there is no mitzvah of kavod for grandparents. Now the truth is, that the Vilna Gaon says, on that Gemara, the Vilna Gaon raises this possibility, and again, if we have time, we'll get into this issue perhaps later as well, but the Vilna Gaon says something incredibly controversial. Again, it's to get out of that proof, but here he says, well, you can distinguish between paternal and maternal grandparents. So perhaps there's only a chayev for paternal grandparents. But in that case, it was a grandchild through the mother. It was a maternal. Rabbi Yaakov was a Sulyankalev's maternal grandfather. And the Gra says that there's no chayev covered for maternal grandparents. So, very controversial. I wouldn't, if we don't have a chance to get to it, let's not assume that we pass in that way. But I hope we'll have a chance to perhaps even get to analyze it per se. I only mention it now just as a reference that perhaps there is a room, wiggle room, if you will, for this, out of this proof. And a final proof, not from a Gemara, but from another Rishon, and none other than the Rambam, we know that one of the major halachos in the Torah, again, a capital crime is, you're not allowed to physically hurt or even curse your father. Makal Aviv is a chiyuv misa. So the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim says explicitly black on white, what if you curse your grandfather? It's not a nice thing. Makal Shar Bnei Adam. It's no worse than cursing anybody else. It is not a capital offense. Again, perhaps this Rambam also holds that whatever niceties you should have to your grandparents, there's no halachic unique relationship that would require a kibbutz.
Isn't honoring your grandparents a form of
kibbutz? Oh! So we'll get to it. You're makabin to the Sechemet. Okay, but you'll allow me. Let's see a few other halachos which would hinge upon this basic question of if there is a mitzvah or not. And again, we assume the halacha. The Rama says that there is. The Rama rejects the Marik. Whatever the answers to these proofs would have been, from Mako, from Sosa, the Rama postulates that this is a second opinion. But again, it's his opinion. It's a tshuva in the Rama. But this second opinion is if there is a mitzvah of kavod for grandparents. So one of the examples, how far do you go? So not only is there a mitzvah of kavod, comes along the Bach and says, again, this is a larger issue. Again, for those who heard Rabbi Sabalovsky's shiur a few Friday nights ago with the Sobels, so one of the things he mentioned is that we have a halacha, the Gemara Machlokes, but we paskin that the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av'im is not supposed to inquire any financial burden. Mishel Av, v'lo Mishel Ben. In other words, whatever it is you have to do for them, you have to go cook for them or whatever, but they have to buy the groceries in theory. It's not supposed to never cost you money to fulfill Kibbutz Av'im. But let's say your parents have no money. Let's say your parents are Aniyim. So then, basically what it rolls back into is that then they're like any other poor person, but you have a special relation, obviously you have a special obligation to give all of your maestro money, if you will, to your parents and not worry about other people. That's the basic halacha. So let's say your grandparents have no money. So then your parents should be taking care of them. But let's say, right, the grandparents were just brought over from Europe, they had no money, right? And then the father was also had born growing up, and he was, you know, the first generation immigrant. He didn't necessarily have that much. Oh, but the grandson, that's the American born, he went to law school and medical school, and the father is poor and the grandfather is poor, but the son is living in the suburbs in a nice big house. Says the Bach, in such a case, the grandfather has no money, the father has no money, you can be kofa, you can force the grandchild to pay money to support his grandfather because of halacha of kibud. Just like in theory, there's a mitzvah where we could force a child to support his parents if it was necessary. We even go so far to assume there's a mitzvah of kibud for grandparents that you could force the child to support them. So most poskim say this is going too far. And for example, Nosekem, Shachar Achman, the Beit Lachem Yehuda, and others, say that really Mikra Hadin, you would not go that far. But obviously, listening to me sure then minimally, it's the right thing to do, perhaps, but we wouldn't necessarily force it. So that's, even if you assume there's a mitzvah, it's not clear exactly how far we'll go. Now, one of the contexts where this comes up, and this was the original source of the Ramah, as I alluded to when I mentioned that story about my own grandfather, was a maternal grandfather, by the way, when I mentioned that also about my grandfather, when I mentioned this Shiloh, that I was, what was the thing that I was like? It was a question of Kaddish. Let's spend a minute or two on that. Is there an obligation or a mitzvah to say Kaddish for a grandparent? Again, presumably the issue is that there, for whatever reason, there is no child that's appropriate or possible or capable of saying Kaddish. So what is the role of the grandchild, assuming there is one, when it comes to Kaddish? So that was the context of the Ramah. That Tshuvas Ramah, Simon Kuf Yeches, is on that question. Again, the Ramah had what he thought was such an innovative stock that he actually tells the person he wrote it to, carry around my tshuva with you in your pinkies. That's why I xeroxed the tshuva and I always kept it in my wallet, even though it didn't become practical so much for me. But the Ramah says that, in fact, again, you have to imagine this is a historical context where the minhag of Ashkenazim was that only one of them said Kaddish per minyan. So you think sometimes there's competition of the Amud. This was very serious. In fact, Shulchan Aruch has discussions of, you have X number of Avelim, how do you decide who is the of who is going to get Kaddish? And obviously, in a given town, where there's only, let's say there's only one, you know, Shtibel in the Shtut, so there's only going to be so many Kaddishim, so to get on that list, that's a serious list to get on. And there are more Paskin there than a grandchild, while perhaps not equal exactly with the other people in the town who are actually children, but there are more says that a grandchild should be on that list, which means, again, not only that he will say Kaddish, nowadays they think, what's the big deal if you say Kaddish? Who are you hurting? But there, you were taken away from somebody else. And the answer that Ramah says, no, b'nei banim harihim kabanim, your grandchild is like a child, and therefore when there's nobody else, you should say Kaddish. Now the truth is, if that's the case, so many assume that the Marik would argue, because Marik says b'nei banim kabanim does not apply in such context. But the truth is, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Marik himself, but certainly many other poskim assumed that even if Marik didn't hold that there was a formal obligation of kibud avim, but certainly again, to the extent that we can understand how Kaddish works, which we really can't, it's a very mystical, supernatural idea, but somehow this idea that the Yosef Halasov, the descendant, is somehow leading a public declaration, a public Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and somehow that is a schus for the Neshama, and has the Neshama rise and rise. So they say, logically, this doesn't necessarily depend on the Machlokas, Ramah and Marik. Even Marit, who may hold that there's no mitzvah of kibud avim, or may hold that there's no formal idea of b'nei banim harim kabanim, the bottom line is he's still a descendant. He's still a descendant. Logically, it makes sense that by the grandson saying Kaddish, that he'll be creating a zechus for the nifter. And the Mate Ephraim, who, again, is a very significant and influential posek of these type of halachos, the Mate Ephraim quotes, that again, letter of the law, this is black and white, letter on the law, if there is nobody else, there's no reason that a grandchild cannot say Kaddish. Now the PS to this, which became very relevant in my case, was that that's all true if, whether it's the grandmother or the parents, aren't maskud. Because obviously, again, as we saw from our medrash on our parsha and Rashi, kibud av always comes before kibud grandparents. So if you're going to be doing something that's disturbing the parents, then that does not allow you to even if it is a fulfillment of kibud for grandparents. And again, this is not at all my area of expertise, but apparently, certainly in the world of ayin hara, many people are very, very bothered and nervous about the concept or the idea, the prospect, someone with two parents saying Kaddish. But it's important to note that none of that is halachic. Halachic, the Ramah, the Mate Ephraim, they all say that it is no problem. So there, perhaps, this is related to our issue, another possible expression of the idea if we assume that there is a mitzvah of kibud for grandparents.
Was it Kud Kadiva, Adam or a grandson?
For real? Really really a grandson, for sure. Absolutely. I don't think that's true, but even if so, it's two steps. Right? This is one step. Okay? Now, as it so happens, and this isn't very common practically, that's exactly what happened. My father's a Kaddish. Son-in-law is a Kaddish. Okay? But Mikra did letter of the law, so the direct line of descendants would be the grandson. So now let's get to Alan's issue. Alan raised the question. I'll relate to what he mentioned in a Lumnisher vein. And that is, we really now, again, I gave some examples of where perhaps this halakha of kibud for grandparents would be expressed. How far do you take it? Would you force a grandchild? Kaddish, other things. The question now is, if you assume that there is a mitzvah or not, but if you assume there is, where does it come from? What's the basis? There's no pasuk in Chumash. The Rashi on Vayigra quoting a message that Yaakov had more kavod for Yitzchak than for Avram. But that's not Kibbut Avayim. That's not the Aseret Dibros. Where does it come from? What's the Sfara? Why should it be if you assume there is a mitzvah? And here we have three, which are basically two approaches. The basic Chakira, which could, if you want to sum it up, could be phrased in the following way. Is it an independent obligation of Kavod? Or is it merely a subcategory, an expression of Kavod for the parent who is a child of said grandparent? Oh, so exactly. So we'll see. So the first shita that to point out, which is to be a very important shita, is there's a sefer called Sefer HaKaredim. Now, he was a contemporary of the Beit Yosef. I'm not sure if he would have known that all these hundreds of years later that it would be such a charged word. I think even Tzionim could read the Sefer and enjoy it. But the Sefer HaKaredim was a contemporary of the Beit Yosef. But Sardik was one of the early Achronim. So he has, again, it's quoted very often in the Halakha. I have to say that in preparing for this year, the first time I actually looked at, I only take it as a junk copy. I don't know anyone else wandering around on the Sefer HaKaredim. So the YU library faxed me a copy of the particular marker, and this is the first time. This is the Sefer HaKaredim, title page. And here, the first time I've actually seen it inside, but it is often quoted l'halacha in certain contexts. Sefer HaKaredim says, you know why there's a mitzvah of Kibbut Avayim? Kibbut is for grandparents, because we absolutely reject the Maharik. He doesn't say it in so many words, but in other words, what he says is, because we do assume, b'nei banim harim kibbonim, is a general, broad, far-reaching concept. It's not just this limited technical idea and pru revu in certain types of circumstances. No, it means very fundamentally we, you know, we're a very family-oriented religion. We believe in legacy. We believe in Masorah. We believe in broader families. And grandchildren are mamish like children. And if that's the case, then it's not only true top-down, it's also true bottom-up. A grandchild has an absolute chiyuv to show honor to his grandparents because it's as if he is his parents, his father, or his mother itself. That's the context of that Gemara Yevamos. Most again, that's itself a debate. Next year, Mitzvah may be Parshas Bereishis. If it doesn't come out on a 3-day Yontif after Sukkot, we started this year with Noach. But we have a chance to do Bereishis, so Pru Revu is a significant topic, and perhaps that can be discussed. Pru Revu, again, is an elastic type halacha. Some may remember last year, Christmas, there was a Yom Iyun. I spoke on behalf of the tournament Sion Kolel in Shiat Rambam. I discussed issues relating to adoption. And the first discussion we discussed then was, is there a mitzvah of Kibbut Avayim for adopted or stepchildren for their adopted or step-parents? And the fact is, even though not everyone agrees, there are some poskim who say yes. And the very concept of that, the very fact that that's even conceivable, obviously points to the fact that there's a certain more elastic definition of Kibbut Avayim than some of the more formal things. Again, that's not necessarily Muslim, that stuff, but even the fact that it's stuck obviously reflects the nature of Kibbut Avayim, and the fact that it's transgenerational is not entirely surprising. But that is what the Sefer HaKaredim says, the Maharam Shik, again, one of the common Muslims of the Chasam Sofer, so he's most known for his Tshuvos, Maharam Shik, but he also has a lesser-known one-volume Sefer, which is called Maharam Shik Al HaTaryag, on the Mitzvot, which is his commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. His mitzvah, the system he uses is for Sefer Chinuch, and his mitzvah Lamed Gimel, which is where the Chinuch talks about Kibbut Avayim, he also says this idea that you have to have honor for grandparents, all because B'nei Banim Harayim Kibbonim, it's mamash an independent chiyuv, there you're like your parents, therefore you have to have a chiyuv for them. The Bach, we had mentioned before, at the opening of the shir, he throws in some side reasons, perhaps in Chumash, when it says Avi, sometimes it refers to a grandparent, and others, the Shoshu Shritzin idea. But a third idea, which he mentioned, which I alluded to, which the Torah Tamima, in our apostles, the Torah Tamima picks up on in Vayigash, is another idea. And that is this idea of Talmud Torah. The Gemara in Kedushin says that a grandparent, again, especially if the parent is either incapable, incapacitated, or just delinquent, a grandparent has an obligation to make sure that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the chinuch, is done for the grandchild. So if that's the case, implies the Bach, and the Torah Tamima articulates this more fully.
So
that's going to be the okay. I didn't know that Rashi, but that's related. Very nice. So they say because of all this, you see that the grandparent has some parental responsibilities, and again, the reciprocal is also true, namely that the grandchild has obligations of kibbutz. That's like a 1A and a 1B. Again, the basic subcategory, the basic idea is is fundamentally in and of itself and is an independent obligation of kavod toward the grandparent. The one who argues with this, in addition to Allen, is the Seich Emet. The Seich Emet holds this idea of Baruch Shekiv and Allen. The Seich Emet holds that this is all wrong. The Rabbanan HaRakibanim is not relevant, it's nothing to do with it. It's not an independent view. You have to show honor to your, let's say, your paternal, to be non-controversial, your paternal grandfather, because that's an expression of kavod for your father. You think your father's going to appreciate it if you're disrespectful to your grandfather? If your grandfather asks you to do things and you ignore him, you start sitting in your grandfather's seat, you know, to talk to your grandfather disrespectfully. That's disrespectful to your grandson, to your father. So it's an expression of your mitzvah, of your obligation, of kibbutz for your father. You have to show kavod for your grandfather. And as Shragan correctly points out, the post can say we have an analogy for this. The analogy is, again, and this is itself a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, but but the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot says, again, this is also an intriguing halacha, which we may study in another point, but the Gemara there says, and we pass in halacha, that there's a mitzvah of kavod for Echav HaGadol. The younger brother is supposed to have respect for the older brother. So why is that? So the Ramban says, and this is debated by the Rambam, but the Ramban says the same idea, because the father wants the kids to get along. So it's an expression of kibbutz for your parents to show honor to...
Oh,
I need
them to get along, and the older brother has to respect the younger brother.
It's an independent... it's just like, as an older child, I don't like to ask those questions. I take it at his word. But okay. Look, I don't want to get bogged down into the Echav HaGadol issue, but it's an analogy which some postings do quote. Be that as it may, the Seich Emet doesn't rise or fall on that analogy. The Seich Emet says it's an expression of your kavod to your father to show respect for your grandfather. So I alluded to this before you came in, but I didn't explain it yet. If we have time, it'll be one of the issues we're going to get to. But as I mentioned, the reason I alluded to it is the Vilna Gaon makes a distinction. And most posts can reject it. If we have time, we'll try to explain even the Vilna Gaon, but there is a sheet out there that makes that distinction. So let's discuss now a few nafka minas, which perhaps will fully bear out and illustrate the difference between these two approaches. The one approach, which says it's an independent of respect to grandfather, b'nebarim ha'arehim kabanim, he teaches you Torah, etc. Or, as the Seich Emet says, no, it's really just a subcategory and expression of the kavod you're supposed to have for your father. So, one issue is brought up parenthetically by a tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Akiva Eger quotes a sefer which I had never heard of called the Yaschein, which is a sefer ala Torah on part of Vayigash, which Akiva Eger quotes, who says that the old idea of kibbutz for your grandparents, the real halacha, that it only exists in the lifetime of your parents. Chas v'shalom, your parents, first, that your grandparents outlive your parents. You have a parent who died young and has parents who are themselves alive, your grandparents. Says that Sefer Levi Achrein, that there's no more chiyuv in that case. Many other posts can disagree. They say the chiyuv for your grandparents has nothing to do with whether your father or mother, let's say, is still living. And the Seich Emet himself, who is again a party in this debate, suggests and explains that, of course, very obviously, this debate very much hinges on this basic, fundamental, conceptual question. If you assume that the mitzvah of kibbutz for your grandparents is an independent chiyuv, that has nothing to do with whether, Rachman Oslan, your parent dies before your grandparents. But it, as the Seich Emet himself assumes, that the whole kavod that you're supposed to have for your grandparents is just as an expression of kavod for your... Then you could argue that it makes sense to limit that to when they're alive. Now, I could still make the argument that it transcends their death, because there is a concept, albeit mitarabanan, of kavod la'achar misa. So you could argue, again, I would have no riot list, I didn't see anyone say this, this is my own ha'ara, but you could say that, listen, to the extent that it makes any sense to talk about kavod la'achar misa, which on a rational level is hard to understand, but if you assume that there is such a concept, so presumably your father, Nebuch lying in the grave, is not going to be happy with all of a sudden, the second that he passes away, you all of a sudden being disrespectful to his father. So you could still disagree, but the way the Seich Emet frames it is that it would be directly correlating to this question. If you assume it's only an ancillary obligation to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, but the Av is no longer around, the mitzvah of kavod for the grandparent vanishes. Yes?
If you would say that there is such a fear about the visa, maybe because that's even greater, because now the father isn't there to give kavod to his father, it's not the grandson. doing it for us.
Right. I didn't see anyone say that, but that's a very interesting idea. And as I say, we'll see if we have the time. There is an idea. There is an idea which some postmen suggest, and you won't be surprised. It's this very same Rabbi Yefrein and Rabbi Eger, who suggests that he's the only one who says this. Who suggests that even in life, the obligation for grandparents is actually greater than for parents. But let's.
Is there a tie in the fact that he now becomes a direct Jewish of his grandfather?
You mean financially? You mean Afsakar Tov in that sense? I didn't. Could be. I didn't see anyone. Right. It's an interesting point. I did not see anyone who says this. Presumably, yes. So I get to all Haba HaTalia, which is right.
No, well, it's not Talia.
You mean because everyone agrees about the Kaddish?
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. The Sechamet himself quotes another Nafkamina, which is, what if the father is? Well, let me put it this way: can the father be Mochel? Right, the father, the grandfather, you can just imagine. The grandfather is always calling up the grandson, come over, you know, bring me medication, take me to the doctor, bring me the chicken soup, whatever the case is. And, you know, the father keeps on seeing the son's eyes all bashing. So finally, the father says to his son, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Someone else will take care of it. Michael's on it. But is he a balabas to say such a thing? That's what the grandfather asked. So the Sechem makes sense, but this is obviously directly dependent on this question. Again, if you assume that it's an independent chiv, then the father is not, he's not party to Bimoko. It's like the bank calling me, asking me for the money, and the father says, okay, you don't have to pay. What do you mean? You can't Bimoko something that's not yours to give up. So if it's an independent chiv, then the father has no standing. But if the whole idea is that it's an expression of covered for your father, if your father says you don't have to do it, maybe because that means he'll take care of it, whatever the case may be, so then, because of the mechila should work. Now, on a practical level, again, I don't want anyone to walk in any misconceptions. Whatever the lumbus is, all the contemporary posts that I saw, quoting from Nissen Karelitz and from Elul Yashiv, the great Sephardi Rosh Yeshiva and Posek of Ben Sion Abba Shaul, they're all machamir in all of these cases. Again, in a lumbus, it's consistent. Again, it's assuming that it's an independent chiyuv, and therefore, again, it doesn't matter if the father died, achron al son, or even if the father was mochel.
The same like a wife.
Yes, we're gonna get to it. I know where you're going, I think.
Okay.
I haven't always been right with that, but give me a chance. So I want to touch now for a moment on the issue of maternal grandparents. I mentioned that there is this Vilna Gaon who suggests the possibility that perhaps maternal grandparents are different. Now, logically, we haven't yet addressed it. Perhaps the source is that Gemara in Sota, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who raises his little grandson Yankele, who was the son of his daughter, and that Yankele gets old, and he says, I don't have to show you respect. So, some say that shows that there's no mitzvah of kibbutz at all for grandparents. But the Gra says, no, there is a mitzvah, but what's that Gemara teaching you? There's no mitzvah of kibbutz for maternal grandparents. And that was the case of a maternal grandfather and grandson, but paternal grandparents was not addressed by that. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan and others diametrically, absolutely reject that Vilna Gaon. Whatever answer you'll give for understanding the Gemara and Sota, they do not accept the distinction between that. However, on a Svara or a Rayos level, so to speak, it seems to perhaps relate to our issue in that the Vilna Gaon quotes a Medrash. It's a Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah that says, B'nei Banim Arayim Kebanim, B'nos Banim. B'nei Banos, thank you. B'nei Banos, I was a little dyslexic. B'nei Banos, Lav Kabanin. But the son of a son is like a son. Not, again, logically I would have assumed that applies to the daughters too, but there is such a medrash floating around. B'nei Banos, Lav Kabanin. And the Vilna Gaon quotes this. And there are svarim that suggest, again, that this basic debate, again, which it's hard for me to know how to evaluate or even analyze it, but just to let you know that it exists. Do you say that B'nei Banim Arayim Kebanim fundamentally applies to maternal grandchildren or not? So again, if that's the assumption, then if that's a debate, then presumably there'll be a related debate whether it goes in the reverse direction, assuming that it all depends on B'nei Banim Arayim Kebanim. However, there are those who say that based on Alan and the Sechemet that the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. Because even if you assume that B'nei Banos Hari Arlav Kebanim, But that's irrelevant. If you assume the whole reason you have to honor grandparents is because that's an expression of your kavod for your parents, but just like you have, my father alluded to before, just like you have an absolute chiyuv to honor your mother, So if honoring her parents is an expression of that chiyuv, so too, it will not matter whether you say bnei banu sari and gabanu or not, because you're still fulfilling your obligation of kibud for your mother. So I have a few minutes left, and I want to the Minchas Usher, by the way, our favorite, that last snake, that's what he adds to the discussion. And perhaps this whole discussion of maternal grandparents or not will be dependent, because if you assume that the formal category of bnei banu sari and gabanu does not apply, that's only relevant if you assume that that's the whole basis of the chiyuv. If you assume the basis of the chiyuv is that it's an expression of kibud avein, so it's just like you have kibud for your mother, you have to have kibud for her parents. Now, the last issue I want to discuss, again, I'll do it very abbreviatedly, but this is the whole last vav and zayin of the Ma'amar Kamos here on the sheet, is the question of the relative priority of the two. Both in terms of, in theory, even if we say kibud avein applies, kibud applies to grandparents, how far does it go? Again, we alluded to, can you force a child, like the Bach says, Tadish, how far does it go? Is it identical with the kibbutz if that's for your parents, or is it just, no, be respectful in the colloquial sense? That question of relative weight, and then the question of conflict. What if your father tells you to do one thing, and your grandfather tells you to do just the opposite? So, al rego achas, basically, the story is as follows. The Ramah says, again, it's not 100% what he means, but the Ramah says that, again, when he says, I reject the Marik, is the mitzvah of kibbutz for grandparents, but he says again, it's you have to meet, you really need the Ramah. It's the Rashi in our, it's the Medrash in our Rashi, right? Why does Yaakov say that? Okay, Yavi Yitzchak, because the mitzvah for parents is greater than for grandparents. So there are poskim who say that because of this, therefore, again, Rabbi Kiva Eger and others, many quote this idea that many poskim say that because of this, you see that they don't necessarily give a hagdara with the chacham solver. They don't give tell you exactly what. But he says it's not exactly the same. It's not as much as you have to do for parents. Others, however, Minchas Eluzer, the Minchas Rav, and others quote, no. That's a Rashi, that's a nice story, but Allah Allah, we paskin, identical level of chiyuv. And then you have a third, most lenient opinion, really, which is of Yaakov Emzin and others, who say that it's, what does that mean that it's less than parents? It's not all the categories, again, if you go through all of Siman Reish Mem and Yeridea, it's not all that stuff. It means, if our parent, let's say, in theory, you have to stand up fully. So for the grandparent, you do the modem, the rabbanon. That's maybe perhaps enough. And you have to speak respectfully. They say, kima ktas and hider v'dvarim. You have to be respectful, the way you and I would think of a mensch. We don't need Yeridea to teach us what that is. We're a basic idea of mensch. And in fact, I saw some of these contemporary svarim, they quote from Rav Avadi Yosef and Rav Hayashiv, more or less saying that that's the idea. That a lot of the formal halachos are limited to a parent, but the general idea of being a mensch and treating them with respect, that's what applies to grandparents. So in that sense, on a quantitative level, perhaps there's a very significant difference.
What he said assumes that kibud parallels mora in the halachos, because kima is a, isn't that als mora?
No, that's covered. I think that's covered. No, sitting in their seat is mora. I think standing is kibud. Yeah. Okay, we'll have to iron some. Last issue, I want to finish. I'm happy to take your questions afterwards. Let me just quickly finish up. Many then discuss the following issue, the issue of conflict. Right? Let's get back to Jerry Springer. Right? Conflict. Right? We will dial it down a little bit from the Gemara and Makos. That's not where your grandfather killed your father, but knew before the killing, they got to an argument. But what should you do? So who do you listen to? So there are some poskim who suggest that you have to listen to the grandfather based on the following argument. I think this may be what you were alluding to. Namely, that we have a similar idea. Let's say your parents have an argument about what you should do. The Gemara there famously says, again, this is a halacha that requires its own analysis. We don't have time for it tonight. But the Gemara says, father takes precedence because atavihi chayez v'chvodo. That there is some idea of a wife having kavod for her husband. So there, you have to have kavod for him. She has to have some kavod for him. And again, I don't have to park my words here, but if you're going to bring this home, so you just leave me out of this, okay? You happen to hear it here by somebody who doesn't even live in Baltimore, who mentioned this halacha. Don't get me started. I won't be able to walk out of Shul Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says, that there's a certain halacha, and therefore the father has kadima. So, as I say, let's leave that for another shir to perhaps never be given. And some posts can say, by analogy, perhaps this is true here. You and your father both have to have kavod for your grandfather. So it's two on one, so to speak, and therefore the grandfather's kavod should trump the fathers. On the other hand, the Rama says that the covenant for your father has to be greater, and the pashtus is that he even means, not just quantitatively, but even means b'makom conflict. So the question is, and that's how most poskim seem to hold, this is what I saw, that the father would come before the grandfather, but the question is, how do you get out of the question? How do you get out of the seemingly ironclad proof or analogy that if they're both chayiv in the covenant of the grandfather, why shouldn't that trump it? Why is the Levi Aschein or others who quote this, why are they wrong? This one is they're wrong, which most poskim seem to say. So here...
Well, the question why the father can argue on the grandfather.
Again, he's not arguing in any other way. He's just telling you to do something differently. That's not a direct argument, necessarily. So, again, very quickly, there's a few answers to the question, but perhaps the easiest answer, and we'll have to save the more complicated answers for another time, but perhaps the easiest answer, I have three answers here. You'll see on the last three Makaros on your sheet, the Maharshag has a tshuva. The last sefer is the Mishmar Chaim. That's everyone familiar with the sefer. It's from Rav Scheinberg. Mishmar Chaim, he would do mishmars in the yeshiva in Tor Or, where he would throw out a very sharp question or machlokas in Achronim, and then it's a very nice pedagogic idea that Talmidim would have to, I don't know if it's at the time or they thought about it over dinner, to try to come up with. The whole idea was to sharpen their thinking skills, to sum up with a chiluk, and then he would give whatever his answer was. And after a few years of this, they put together a work called Mishmar Chaim, his name. Chaim is his first name. That's from the Mishmar and this idea that he had. But he has each one of the things has two paragraphs. They're short little things he did in the base letters. So he also asks this question, how could it be that the father's covenant come first? What about this analogy? He has an answer, and perhaps the easiest answer is that Rav Asher Zalig Weiss says, the Menchas Asher, where he says, that idea is only true if you have a conflict between two equals. You have an equal obligation towards your father, an equal obligation towards your mother. How are you going to break the tie? So this idea, however you understand it, of the wife having covenant for her husband, breaks the tie. But the reason you had a conflict, the reason you had a tie, the reason you had to go to get this final idea was because it was at least a tie. However, that's a cue, and I'm the last sentence. However, says Rav Asher Weiss, here it's not a conflict between equals. Because we just got through saying that there's a fundamental greater obligation towards your father than towards your grandfather. So the fact that your father has his own chiyuv kibud av to your grandfather is irrelevant whether who you should listen to. You always have to listen to your father because your father, your obligation towards your father is absolute and far greater than your obligation ever is to your grandfather. Have a good job.